And now then, it's time for the show's sauce to be enriched by the metaphorical cornflour of our next guest, an actor who started off as a drug-fueled enfant terrible and has since built himself a career as one of the most versatile and in-demand actors of his generation. This is like inside the actor's studio, this. From Human Traffic and the Lakes to Life on Mars and Doctor Who to his latest, Exile, and most memorably, his band Magic Alex, we talk to John Sim.
Hello. Wow, what an introduction. You've got a lovely way with words.
Thank you. It's very kind of you, John. I mean, you... First, let's just clear a few things up. Are you spelling John with an H or without an H?
With an H.
I thought you did, but I lost confidence.
No, it's H. It's always been there.
Good.
Yeah.
There's a difference, isn't there? You know, John... People who spell it without the H, then, must be saying it's short for Jonathan.
Yeah.
And people who spell it with the H, it's not Jonathan. It's not short for Jonathan. It's John.
It's just John, like the Baptist and Lennon.
Exactly. And you, well, you raised the spectre of John Lennon. You had to mention him, didn't you? Of all actors I have known, you've got one of the soundest rock and roll pedigrees because you were in the band Magic Alex, named after the guy who, the sort of electronic wizard who made stuff for the Beatles, but it was all a bit rubbish.
Yeah, he put all those little tiny speakers up in the studio and it was all a bit rubbish.
None of it really worked.
No, he's just their mate, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Got him in.
I work for Apple Computers. My name is Magic Alex. Yeah. Nothing I make works.
It's a bit like the band, you know. It was mad and a bit rubbish. It was very aptly named. I didn't mean that.
I'm sure I heard a bit of. I was trying to find some Magic Alex to listen to, but it's not that easy to come by.
It's on iTunes.
Is it? Are you on iTunes?
Oh, yes.
Well, why didn't I look there?
I would have brought the album in if I'd known.
Oh, you should have done.
We should have done. I've got loads at home.
Got 5,000 of the buggers at home. Loads of them. And what was the name of the album? When was it out? Let's get this covered off for a start.
It is called Dated and Sexist. And I should have brought it in because it's got a brilliant cover. As you can imagine, the mind boggles. I mean, where are you going to go with that? I'll send you, it's got a really funny cover, but you'll see.
Bernard Manning.
That's it, yeah. It wasn't quite as crude and horrible as Bernard Manning, I don't think. But it was, Dated and Sexist. And it was out, when was it? Oh, I can't remember. About seven years ago, six.
Oh, really? So quite recent, and I didn't realise that.
But we recorded it about 9 years before that.
I see. So it was a bit of an early 90s venture.
Kind of. Well, it's sort of all through the 90s and then, you know, just trickled over into the 2000s. And by the end of it, we'd been going longer than the Grateful Dead. So it was kind of maybe time to stop.
Well, I don't know about that because Mosque, Menswear, Magic Alex, all the M's.
Maybe all the greats.
All the greats.
Yeah.
Montrose Avenue, another band that Matt Everett was in. You know, perhaps we can all reform for a one-off gig in Finsbury Park.
That would be good, wouldn't it?
Nobody would come.
Nobody would come, but we would be there.
We would have a great time. Some of our friends. When we ever play gigs, my old band, the only people that enjoy themselves are the people on stage and about seven people in the audience who vaguely remember the songs from 20 years ago. Oh, I remember that. It was quite fun. And everybody else is just going, when will this be over?
That's exactly the same as our gigs. But we reformed for a mate's wedding. And that was a laugh. You know, it's always nice.
Yeah, of course.
It's always nice. What was your band called?
Well, we were called... and you, when I say it, you'll be kicking yourself because you'll say, of course, they influenced Magic Alex a lot. But Mosque, we were called.
Of course. Not going into it. Not the Mosque.
Yeah. Yeah.
I had no idea.
Well, there you go.
I had no idea.
I don't go on about it because I don't want people to view me differently than they did before.
You don't go on about us. That's amazing.
So there you go. But, we should move away from music because although that is a central plank of you as a person, we know you more, of course, as an actor. And first of all, though, you used to live near me, and I used to be on my mountain bike, and I used to see John Sim walk past, and I go, it's John Sim.
You should have said something,
I know. It was a stupid idea, wasn't it? Really?
Yeah, you should have said, I listen to you every morning.
That's a lovely thing.
Every single morning.
Clip that.
It's true. I wake up with you in my ear every single day.
God, you've blown me away.
And sometimes I've marvellous, you know, because I've got it on the alarm and it comes on gradually, sort of, it fades in.
That's nice, isn't it?
And sometimes, like for instance, the other week you played the new Fleet Foxes single and I'd never heard it. And I love the Fleet Foxes. Yeah. And I thought I was dreaming their new single. Oh, my God, that sounds like the Fleet Foxes, but I've never heard that one. Yeah, so that was lovely. And Bombay Motorcycle Club as
Bombay
well.
Bombay Motorcycle Club.
That was lovely, yeah.
It's what we do. It's
yeah,
what
it's
we
nice.
Do. But, it's, you know, I mean, we've been watching you on screen for so many years now. And would you say, I mean, Cracker was kind of one of your breakthrough performances, wasn't it, in the mid-90s? Would you say that's fair?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Yeah.
And Human Traffic and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
But to go from there, I mean, and obviously you've been in so many different things. Like I remember about 10 years ago, you were in a series called The Lakes.
Yeah, well, it's longer than that. It was like 1997.
Was it?
Yeah.
Sweet baby Jesus, John. What are the years gone?
It just flies by, doesn't it, as you get older.
But what about for you? Would you? I mean, again, then something like Life on Mars comes around, which is. I mean, was that a game changer for you, would you say, as an actor? Because it seems to, from the outside looking in, that was one of the big gigs on UK TV in the last few years. Was that?
Yeah, I think so. It was it was the most widely watched, sort of most populist programme that I'd done up until then. Up until then, I'd sort of done, you know, quote-unquote gritty northern drama.
Yeah, yeah.
Or films about drugs, you know, and so it was a game changer because it opened up a whole new audience. And,
yeah. And then you end up in Doctor Who, for God's sake. Yeah. Well, it doesn't get much bigger than that, does it?
Oh, blimey. I know. It just opened up a whole new world of sci-fi.
Yeah.
Which I'd never previously dipped into. But but both great fun.
Yeah.
Great fun to be involved in.
Do you find that you go from, because I would say that John Sim, quite a well-known actor before all this stuff happened, you know, perhaps 2 in 5 people who would walk past you in the street would at least go, you know,
yeah.
Jeff, look at this. But then, you know, you Doctor Who, Life on Mars, do you notice, even just after the first and second episodes of something like that going out, more people recognising you on the streets? Did you feel that, oh my God, I'm a bit more well-known than I used to be a few days ago?
Yeah, excuse me. Yeah, it ratchets it up a little bit every time. But to be honest with you, I don't. I just look at the floor when I'm out and never catch anybody's eye. So I don't know. I mean, maybe nobody recognises me. I wouldn't know.
But that's good, you see, because we've got a theory about that here in the studio. And Matt particular says this, and he's right. In that you can, to some degree, it feels like, choose how noticed you are.
Of course you know,
because if you're going to go to Bougie Nightclub with Nicholas and fall out of a massive limousine at 3 o'clock in the morning in front of the Pap, that you are going to end up in the 3 a.m. column, aren't you?
Yeah.
But I bet you've hardly ever done that, have you, John?
No, I haven't. And you can avoid it. Yeah, easily.
Yeah.
It's rubbish when they say, oh, you know, it really annoys me. And well, don't do it then.
Yeah.
Don't go where they are.
Exactly.
It's a massive world, you know, you don't have to. You know, London's massive. You know, you don't, you know, Muswell Hill's big enough. You can... You don't have to be in the papers, but...
It is true, isn't it? Just nip to the King's Head for a pint and some pork scratchings, you know what I mean? There aren't going to be any mates. Paparazzi in there, more or less definitely.
Absolutely.
You will get a bit of... You want, that's that Immortal Life on Mars.
Yeah, you get that thing when they come up to you and go, are you famous? You
yeah.
Know? Well, just the fact that you've had to ask that is obviously, it answers your own question.
But what I notice a lot is, when I see famous people, I do that thing that a lot of people do, where you see them and you as you're walking past him, you think, I know him. I must have worked with him or something. Or
yeah.
And then only later you remember that you know them because they've been on telly.
I do that all the time. Yeah. So still with people, if you meet someone that's been on telly, you sort of go, have we met or have I just seen you on the telly?
Yeah.
Same with everybody. I do it all the time.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
I can't remember whether I've met them or not. Or
yeah, exactly. Mm. Or is it Jack Duckworth?
Yeah.
and, you know, your music pedigree as well. We're talking about Bernie Sumner. In 24-Hour Party People, we've spoke to a few people who've appeared in that fabulous and seminal film. What was that like for you to record? Did you speak to Barney about the role and stuff beforehand? What kind of research did you do for that?
To be honest, I've been doing research my whole young life for that part. I was a massive New Order fan, you know. I grew up just outside Manchester, like you. You know,
yeah.
I was in Nelson, so around the other side,
a bit more east.
Yeah, but so Manchester was the hub. My dad's a Manc, and that was the hub of my youth. I'd go there to watch the football and go there to watch gigs, Manchester Apollo and all that.
Yeah.
So playing Bernard Sumner was an absolute dream come true, and but no, I didn't get to see him. I didn't meet him beforehand.
Right.
I just had to. I mean, how's this for research? You know, watch loads of New Order and Joy Division.
That's good, isn't it?
Watch them and learn the songs on the guitar.
Yeah.
which, you know, was a pleasure to do, and listen to him speaking. And I had him on something he said on a little dictaphone or something. I carried it around with me, and it was a phrase that he used. And when I couldn't think of his voice, I used to just play it in my ear, right, and then sort of have his voice again.
The essence of Byrne.
Yeah, and it was nerve-wracking, because when I first met him, it was at one of the first screenings of it, and he was sat behind me. The whole band was sat behind me. I kept turning around thinking, oh, my God. But he was lovely at the end. He put his hand on my shoulder, and he's a lovely fella.
Yeah, he's really sweet, isn't
Yeah,
he?
Yeah.
God, that is weird, isn't it? I wonder who'll play me in the biopic of the Six Music Breakfast Show, which is slated for release in 2013, actually. So we've not cast yet, John, but if you're interested...
Yeah, no, I'd love to.
Put a few pounds on.
Yeah, I think we're too similar.
Yeah, well, that's it. I mean, I could
I'd have to play you younger, wouldn't I?
Yeah, that...
From the beginning.
You would, that would it. You'd be
in our
20s.
To do it. Yeah, exactly.
Cheeky get. But what we need to talk about is this new programme, which you've been reunited with Paul Abbott, haven't you, for this?
Yeah.
And tell us a little bit about Exile. It starts this coming Sunday, doesn't it, at 9 p.m. on BBC One?
Yeah.
I think I'm right in saying that.
Yeah, that's right.
What's the story here?
It's a story of a journalist. I play a journalist called Tom Ronstadt, who is a celebrity journalist down at London.
Okay.
And he's moved down to become a success and whatever, for whatever reason, he's moved down to London. And he's a real mess when you first see him. He's a mess. And there's a catalyst. Something happens at the beginning, and he drives back up north.
Yeah.
So he does that journey up the motorway in his flash car and goes back to see his dad, and you realise that he hadn't seen his dad now for about 15 years. Something happened, something terrible happened about 15 years ago, and he left.
Right.
But his dad was a crusading journalist, played by Jim Broadbent, who's fantastic, and he's now in the grip of Alzheimer's. So when he gets back, he can't talk to him about it, because he's totally gone. And his sister's been looking after him, and she's angry with him because he left them. Yeah. And so eventually you find out why and what happened. And he's on the road to redemption at some point when he's sort of trying to find out what happened. So he's forced to become a journalist, proper journalist.
God, it's brilliant. So it feels like, in some way, autobiographical of Paul's life to some degree. There's a lot of Paul in this.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, but it's his idea. The brilliant Paul Abbott.
Yeah,
who obviously has brilliant ideas. But Danny Brocklehurst wrote it.
Oh, okay.
Who's kind of his protege?
Yeah, yeah.
Like Jimmy McGovern was.
Yes.
Paul Abbott. Danny's his. So it's a fantastic script. And when I read it, I thought it was Paul Abbott, and that's the best compliment I can pay to Danny, really.
Oh, well, we've got Paul Abbott on the sheet, Danny Brocklehurst, Jim Broadbent, John Sim. It's obviously going to be fantastic. And as I say, it's on BBC One at 9 p.m. from this Sunday, May the 1st, and it goes over for the next 2 days, over the Bank Holiday weekend. If you get the Bank Holiday Monday off, great for you. Enjoy it. I can't tell you what a pleasure it's been to have you here, John.
Oh, mate, same here. I'm a big fan of the show.
Oh, how lovely. And we were going to play out with some Magic Alex, but unfortunately we've been talking too long, we haven't quite got time to play it.
Oh, dear.
It's just a tragedy, isn't it?
That is a bit of a tragedy. I'll send you one. Oh, we'll have a look. Have a look on iTunes.
Don't worry. We will. I don't know if we'll play it, but we'll definitely get it.
Don't worry.
Ladies and gentlemen, John Sim, thank you very much.
Cheers, Sean. Thank you.
And right now, it is